Yeah, praise the Lord. We're free regardless of what they do up in Washington, right? If you're saved, amen. All right. Well, it's good to be back. Lighthouse Baptist, Butte, Montana. Man. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of John, chapter 19. The book of John, chapter 19. There was a group of old folks standing around talking, and one of them said, "Hey, Bill, I heard you're getting married." He said, "Yeah, I'm getting married again." He said, "Do we know her?" "No, don't know her." Said, "Is she good looking?" "No." He said, "She's ugly, actually." Said, "Does she have a lot of money?" Said, "No, she don't have any money." And so they said, "Why in the world are you marrying her then?" He said, "She can still drive." You get that in a minute. Takes a little while. Chapter 19 of the book of John, look at verse number 5. This, of course, is a story of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. It said, "Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man." Now, if you will, go over to verse 14. "And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for another day. We're grateful for another time and another night that we can be in your house, studying your word, preparing our hearts for the message. And I pray, Lord, that you'll use the message tonight to touch hearts and lives. And Father, will you do in our hearts tonight only that you can do? And we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Notice the Bible says in verse 5, "Behold the man." And in verse 14, it says, "Behold your king." And out of that, I want to lift just one word to preach about tonight. That's the word "behold." And I've entitled the message tonight, "Some Things We Need to Behold." I looked up the word "behold" in the dictionary, and I found there were several definitions for it. One means to gaze upon. It means to observe. It means to watch. It means to view. It means to fix our eyes upon. And it means to direct our attention to an object. I believe God has some things that he wants us to behold. And I think he has some things that he wants us to observe and to watch and to fix our eyes upon and to direct our attention toward. So there are some things in the Bible tonight that God wants us to behold and observe. Number one, we need to behold the sinner. In the book of Job, chapter 40 and verse number 4, Job says this, "Behold, I am vile." I want us to understand tonight that we're never going to get anywhere with God until we come to the realization that we're vile. We're vile. It's not until we realize how wicked and how ungodly that we really are that God can begin to work in your heart and mine and help us be what we ought to be for the glory of Jesus Christ. There are many Christians running around today thinking they're really something. But you know what God says? God says we're nothing. Amen? He says he's everything, but we are nothing, and we need to understand that in order to be saved. If you're here tonight and you're unsaved, you need to understand that you'll never get saved until you realize you're lost and you're on the way to a devil's hell. That's where we got to get to the first thing. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And by the way, when God says all, he means all. Amen? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 in verse number 20, he says, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Could I remind us tonight, even after we're saved, we have no righteousness of our own? All the righteousness that we have after we're saved comes from Jesus Christ. It's all bound up in Him. The Bible said our righteousness is filthy rags. We need to understand that. We need to, if you'll read chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians, you'll find that God doesn't have a very high estimation of the lost person. The Bible says that one who has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior is dead in trespasses and sin. It says they've been disobedient. It says those without Christ are under the wrath of God. It says without Christ we're aliens and strangers and we have no hope. We need to understand that tonight. We need to behold the sinner. If you're here and unsaved tonight, you need to understand that in the sight of God, you're unrighteous and you're ungodly. You need to understand that there's a penalty for sin. You need to understand that one day you're going to face God and you're going to have to give Him an account. By the way, you need to understand that hell is real tonight. Hell's not a figment of somebody's imagination. You need to understand that also that Jesus loves you. Amen. And He will save you if you'll repent from your sins and ask Him into your heart. If you'll do that, the Bible said He'll lift you out of the miry clay and He'll set your feet on a solid rock. He'll establish your goings and put a new song in your heart. As a saved person tonight, we need to understand that as well. Do you realize tonight, as a saved person, you're standing on the solid rock? Amen. You see, the Apostle Paul, Apostle John, speaking to the children of God in John chapter 1 and verse number 8, in the context of that chapter, is my little children. And he says this, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." You see, even after we're saved, we have sin in our lives. We do things that are wrong. If we think we don't have sin, we're just kidding ourselves. Amen. And that's why in the very next verse, he gives us a wonderful promise by saying this, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." By the way, you know where we need, as a saved person tonight, you know where we need to start in our service for God? Right there. You see, we need to understand that when we do something that's unpleasing to God, we need to stop and confess that. We need to understand that God will forgive us of that. You see, God doesn't use unclean vessels. Amen? We don't either. Vessels are just like a drinking glass. When you get up in the morning and you get your glass of orange juice, you don't use that glass that you drank milk out of the night before, you know, the one with the crusty ring around it. No, you don't use that. You either wash that one or you look up in the cupboard and get you another one. You don't use dirty vessels. You either wash that one or get another one. God's the same way. The Bible teaches us that God uses pure, clean vessels, meat for the prepared for the master's use. And that's where we've got to begin. We've got to begin by beholding the sinner. I guess what we need to do is just behold ourselves. Amen. Behold ourselves for what we really are, because without the Lord, we're nothing. We're never going to do anything for God unless we realize our condition before Him. Listen, serving God's a privilege. Amen? We need to understand that. We're not worthy to serve Him. There is nothing about us that makes us worthy to serve God, because serving God is a privilege. Could I say this tonight? There's no greater privilege in all the world than to be an ambassador of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me give you another thing we need to behold today. Number two, we need to behold the love of God. Behold the love of God. Look with me at 1 John chapter 3, please. 1 John chapter 3. And verse number 1. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. The Word of God says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." What an amazing love that is. I mean, think about it tonight. God loved us so much that He made a way for us to be adopted into His family. That's amazing to me. I'll tell you what, I've never gotten over that. We were talking about how old we were when we got saved, and since I've been 16 years old of my life, I've never gotten over the fact that God saved me and put me into His family. And I can't figure out why God would want me in His family, because I know me. Amen. I wouldn't want me in my family, but God wants me in His, and I'm glad He loves me today. I don't understand why He loves me, but I'm sure glad He does. I'm glad as I stand here tonight that I'm safe and secure in that love, and I'm free. There's nothing in the world that the devil can throw at me. There's nothing in the world that can separate me from the love of God in Jesus Christ. I'm safe and secure in that love today. By the way, I'm rejoicing in it. He loves us so much that He wants us to be in His family. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world." How do you love a world like we are? Amen. Think about that for a moment. It's amazing. But He went further than that. He put action behind His love. And the Bible says He gave His only begotten Son. What an amazing love. I've not figured it out. Go to Ephesians, please. Chapter number 2. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2, look with me at verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Thank God for the grace of God. Praise the Lord tonight that he loved us when we were unlovable. It's amazing love. I want you to know the only place you can experience that amazing love firsthand is at the cross of Calvary. Anybody that tells you that you can find that love any other place, they're lying to you. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the Bible says. God was showing His love for the world when he died on Calvary's cross. When He took the cat of nine tails and when they ripped His beard out, He was giving and showing His love for us. We ought to be grateful for that today. Thirdly, tonight we need to behold the Savior. Go with me, please, to the book of Luke, chapter number 2. The book of Luke, chapter number 2. We need to behold the Savior. I want you to look with me, please, at verse 10 and 11 in Luke chapter number 2. And the angel saith unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Let me point out three things out of verse 11 that ought to be a blessing to you tonight. Number one, it's a personal message to you. The Bible says, for unto you is born this day. It's a personal message. God was born for you. He came for you. Had you been the only one in the entire world, he still would have come and died on the cross of Calvary. You see, he loves you that much. It's a personal message. Number two, it's a present message. For it says, unto you is born this day. This day. And I want you to understand tonight that the gospel is just as strong and just as good today as it was at that day. It's still powerful. It's still able to save souls. It's still able to lift you out of the depths of sin. It's still able to set sinners free and give them eternal life in heaven. It's just as good and just as powerful today as it was those 1,000 years ago. And then number three, it's a precious message. It's a precious message. It says he's the Savior. And I want you to behold him. Why? Because he came to save us. Behold the Savior. Jesus said the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I think of myself one time, sometimes as that little lamb that got lost, and he said they left the 99 and went out after the one that was lost. You see, the very purpose that Jesus came was to save people. And the only way for us to be saved is to behold him. Look to him. There's no other way. We need to behold the Savior. The Bible tells us a lot about the Savior. It tells us about him from the beginning of his life to the end of his life in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Turn there with me, please. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. And I want you to notice verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Without controversy, in other words, no ifs, and buts about it, we must look to him for salvation. We must look to him for guidance. We must look to him for strength to live the Christian life. We must look to him to help people understand that they're lost and we need to take the gospel message. And we must look to him to have a victorious Christian life. And that's not easy in the world that we live in. We need to behold the Savior. Oh, don't look to man. Man will fail you every time. Turn with me to Psalm, please, 118. Psalm 118. By the way, Psalm 117 is the shortest chapter in the Bible, and 119 is the largest chapter, and 118 is right in between those. I want you to look, please, at verse number 8. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. Jesus never fails. How many times have we failed him? I don't know about you, but I've failed him many times. But we need to look to the Jesus, because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, why in the world do we need to look to Jesus tonight? We need to look to him because of what he means to us. What does Jesus Christ mean to you tonight? After he saved you, what does he mean to you? If he could just come to mean as much to this community and to Butte, Montana, as he does to me and probably to you, oh, it would thrill my heart. Have you ever heard what Jesus is? The Bible says he's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my defense. He's my deliverer. He's my light. He's my strength. He's my song. He's my shepherd. He's my high tower. He's the anchor in the time of a storm. He's my shield. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the balm of Gilead. He's the lover of my soul. He's the forgiver of all my sin. He's the source of all peace and the source of all mercy and the source of all joy. He's the source of all truth. He's altogether the lovely one. He is wisdom personified. He is righteousness personified. He is the epitome of holiness. He is the epitome of goodness. He is the pity of meekness. He's the power of God personified. He's the great I am. He is the door. He is the first true vine. He is the bread of life. He is the water of life. He is the resurrection and the life. He's my advocate. His name is wonderful. His name is Counselor. His name is the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want you to know he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. I want you to know that he's my great high priest. He's the captain of my salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to him. Look to him. When you look to him, you can live forever. Don't leave here if you're unsaved tonight. Don't leave here without looking to him, because you see, he's everything. And then number four, we need to behold the sacrifice. Look with me at John chapter 1 and verse 29, please. John chapter 1 and verse 29. And we hear what John the Baptist had to say of the Savior. Chapter 1 of John and verse 29. The Bible says this: the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, John the Baptist said of them that he was the sacrifice for all sin. There is no other sacrifice. He was a sacrifice toward all those Old Testament sacrifices that what they pointed to him. He was the perfect and once and all sacrifice. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 4, please. Hebrews 10 and verse number 4. The Bible says this: for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Amen. And the Bible goes on to say in that chapter, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice forever, sat down at the right hand of God, one sacrifice for sin forever. This chapter also says, for by one offering he hath perfected for them that are sanctified. We need to behold the sacrifice, the one who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And the Bible said he became sin for us. Amen. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I don't know why Jesus shed his blood for me. I have no idea why he took the cat of nine tails. I don't know why he had his beard ripped out for me. I'm not worthy of one drop of blood that he shed on Calvary's cross. I don't understand it, but I'm sure glad he did it. Because you see, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, we're on our way to hell. I'm glad today that we can behold the sacrifice. Turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Love these two verses. Verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. You know, there's a lot of people today who think if they just put a little money in the offering plate, or if they send a little money to some radio preacher or TV preacher, or if they give some money to some charity, that when they stand before God, that's going to tilt the balances in their favor. What an awful condition. What a false hope. There's no hope in that message. We're not redeemed with corruptible things, but we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He redeemed you. He died on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God. You see, that's where you got to look. Behold the sacrifice. Then lastly, and then behold the invitation. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, if you'll turn there, please. Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 20. Where the word of God says this: Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now I realize tonight that the way I am using that verse, that is not the primary interpretation of that verse. The primary interpretation of that verse is Jesus knocking on the door of the church and he wants in. But if you're here tonight and you're not saved, he's knocking on your heart's door tonight. Amen. He wants to come in. And the Lord Jesus Christ stands before you this morning, this evening, with his arms open wide, arms of love and grace and mercy. Where the Lord said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Heads are bowed, please. Eyes are closed. You're here this evening, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior in the free pardon of sin. I invite you to come tonight. Let us take the precious word of God, show you how to be saved. Show you how to have heaven as your home for all eternity. If you're here this evening